Good morning, everybody, dear Thai, dear Sangha. Oh, Mark. I'm at Mark's and Sheila house, and this is in their beautiful yoga room. So this is in Omaha and the home of the Honey Locust Sangha. Yes. And today we are November. October 15, 2016. And this is the second talk of this year's series on the Satipatthana Sutra. Last month, I was in Montreal, and we had the first talk. The title of it was Present Moment, Wonderful Moment. And this month, the second theme is Embracing Our Body. Last month, I have mentioned to you that this is together with the Anapanasati Sutra that we had the chance to study last year, is the most important teaching. And Thay has advised us to consider it to be one of our bedstand book. And monastics in all meditation traditions are using this teaching. And I think I seem to remember also that Thay has advised us to really like even learn it by heart. Yeah, to have it on the bedstand is one thing, but to read it often enough so that it becomes a part of us. And I have a friend, he's younger than me, and I have known him in California, and we've had the chance to be together also in Vermont. A beautiful young monk, his name is what's his name? Oof. Fab Lak. Fab is Dharma, Lak is happiness. So the happiness of the Dharma, or the Dharma to happiness. I don't know how we can translate it. But he started in this tradition very young. And it is so beautiful to see him. In order for him to learn the sutra, he would be writing it down. And so he would copy the sutra and give it to somebody. And then he does it again, give it to somebody. And reminds me of how we were taught to study when I was younger. We were taught to like really, and I could like recite long thing, and I don't know if Patrice would remember, but yeah, like those multiplication table. When I came to America, I found that wow, this is such a liberation to be able to not to have to learn by heart, but just to understand. And so I saw that as being freeing and more intelligent, less of a recording thing. But I have come to see the benefit of learning things by heart. Because we truly get into it, immersed in it, and become one with it, and become together. Yeah, so that, and I think that this is the type of thing that we need to repeat over and over so that it really becomes a part of ourselves. And I remember last month I was speaking about singing a song, but not to sing only with words, not to sing looking at the sheet and reading it out, but to be really singing from our gut, from our heart, and so in the same way, that song that we started singing last month, which was breathing in, breathing out, blooming as a flower, fresh as the dew, solid as a mountain, and free. And we can say those words. We can recite them, we can, but to practice them in such a way that when we say that we are blooming as a flower, that we are the flower and that we are blooming. And and I think that that's how we can also, or we can also learn this teaching, this sutra, and practice it in such a way that when we say aware of body, that there is not that we are the body, that we become the body, that we I don't know how to express that, but as that's how I came to understand the awareness of the body in the body, and that we do not separate ourselves in two parts as the mind observing the body and the body like a corpse bear, but that it be really as one. And when we do the work of breathing in and breathing out, that there's no one breather, that there's no but that the breath and the breather and the air, all of that become just one, and there's only the breath with the breather, with the air coming in out. And so breathing in, breathing out is the beginning of our practice, and the name is conscious breathing. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. And I must have heard my teacher repeat that a million times. And I think that as long as he will be teaching, as long as we will be practicing, we will be doing that. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. So simple, yet so profound and so deep. And the more we do, and the better we appreciate the effect of that so wonderful practice and teaching. So the Satipatthana Sutra also start with that. With that practice and that teaching, breathing in a long breath, the practitioner knows that he is breathing in a long breath. Breathing out a long breath, the practitioner knows that he is breathing out a long breath. And So those are the four first exercises that we have learned with the Anapanasati Sutra. The first two is stopping, identifying the in-breath and the out-breath. And by practicing it, we know how wonderful that simple practice can be, that simple practice can bring about. In whatever situation, conditions we are, to remember to come back to our in-breath and out-breath is coming back to a refuge, and we are safe. Yesterday, we had a talk at the Yoga Path in Omaha, and the theme of the public talk was mindful living, the practice of mindful living in a turbulent life. It's good? Okay. It's about time I remembered. And then, so we shared about the turbulence in our life, and then how this simple practice can help us in each of our turbulent life, and and I am so happy that we came again to that realization, or that not realization, but reminder that we do not need much more than just that. And whatever situation we are in, whatever turbulence we can be caught in, whatever storm we to remember that we have that safe place that is always accessible to us, and it's called the present moment. And we just need to come back to our in-breath and out-breath, and we get back to that safe refuge of the present moment, to stop being and to come back, to not being carried away or being swept off of being overwhelmed by emotions and the feelings of the moment. So breathing in, breathing out, coming back to the present moment, coming back to the safe refuge, the island of self, is the practice that we can be doing, that we are doing. And it's all about the first breathing in, I know I'm breathing in, breathing out, I know. And the next two allow us to so the first one, identifying the in-breath and out-breath, coming back. And with that coming back, with that being in the present moment, mindful of the conditions that are around us, is the first, not the first, but I'm trying to to express or to tie that first to practice with the three energies that we have been speaking about yesterday. That's stopping being in the present moment, and that's being mindful, that being present. And that presence and that coming back to stay there, and the staying is helped by can be practiced with the next two exercises, which is following the breath. So when we say breathing in a long breath, I know the practitioner knows that he's breathing in a long breath. It is a way for the practitioner to stay with the in-breath and the out-breath. So it is one thing to come back to it, but it is another thing to stay with it for the whole duration of the in-breath and for the whole duration of the out-breath. And so when we say breathing in a long breath, we know that it is a long breath. It's because we are there with the in-breath from the beginning of the in-breath all the way until the end of the in-breath, and to stay there and to notice and to watch that it is becoming the out-breath, and following it and being with it all the way until it ends and it becomes another in-breath. And if you recall, that image is always coming back to me when I'm speaking or thinking or practicing conscious breathing or mindful breathing. It's Tai holding that pen and having his finger, and this is our mind and it is wandering everywhere. So I bring it back to my in-breath and stay with my in-breath all the way. And Tai was pulmonate. Walking his finger to show how his mind is attached and following the in-breath all along and not getting diverted or distracted away. And so those are the first two exercises that are the first four exercises in the Anapanasati. And it is also the first practices that are taught in the Satipatthana Sutra, in the first domain, in the first foundation. So the Satipatthana Sutra is the four establishment, the four foundation of mindfulness, the four foundation of is it mindfulness? Sati. And the first foundation is the body, in the body. And at the last talk, we have started reading the sutra. And I do not recall exactly where we got to. But if Tai has advised us to keep it in our on our bedstand, and we want to learn it by heart, we can afford to reread it together. No, I won't impose that to you. But it is good to remember the words of the Buddha talking about this wonderful teaching, and the saying, "Bhikkhu, there is a most wonderful way to help living beings realize purification, overcome directly grief and sorrow and pain and anxiety, travel the right path and realize nirvana. This way is the four establishments of mindfulness." What are the four establishments Because the practitioner remains established in the observation of the body in the body. So last time we had spoken about the observation of the body in the body, how we need to be the body and not to be something that is only observing the body from the outside. And we have again repeated that today. This is the practice of being and becoming. The object of to bring the subject and the object of observation into one, to be with it, and the image of the grain of salt jumping into the ocean to find out how salty the ocean can water can be. And we have spoken about establishment and how it is that we get ourselves established. So established is for me coming home, coming back to being in touch, being in contact with, and staying in contact with. So in the same way, we are practicing identifying the breath, being the breath, becoming the breath, and staying with the breath, all along the breath, following the breath. So those are the practices that give us the skills and the capacity to be able to stay established in the observation. So we start with the observation of the in-breath and out-breath. And with that skill, with that capacity, with that competency, we apply that into the observation of the body. And the observation of the in-breath and out-breath is already a part of the, or is already observation of the body. Because in-breath, out-breath is part of the body and part of the movement of the body, and etc. But we use that as the step, as the method, as the methodology, as the process in order to do the observation of the body. And last time I also mentioned about the diligence, and diligence is one of the key aspect of our practice. If you remember, I have spoken about the three seals of Thai's teaching, and yesterday my brother Mark asked, you were mentioning about those three things of Thai's teaching, but what are they? So the three seals of Thai's teaching for me are practicing the moment, in the moment, for the moment. And the question is, what are we practicing? What is the practice? And for me, the answer is joy. So we practice joy of the moment, in the moment, for the moment. And that is my understanding of the practice. And the notion of, well, so I think that somewhere I've added another part to better explain the diligence part is every moment. So the moment, in the moment, for the moment, but every moment. And that's the diligence aspect. And the more moment, or the more we can give ourselves, the better we are. And that we come back again to the notion of identifying and being in touch, being in contact, and staying, so following, being, keeping ourselves. And that's the notion of diligence or concentration, continuous concentration. With clear understanding, so yesterday, last time we also spoke about understanding, that leads to liberation. Understanding being the third noble truth, being the seeing the cause. So in that first establishment, in that first sentence, we can see Not that we can see. But when we are practicing, we will see that that first part contains all the essence, and it's like the executive summary. And then, yeah, so it will be expounded, and with the practice, we will see how each of those words contain are not there by accident, but they are there because they need to be there, because they have their with clear understanding, mindful, having abandoned every craving and every distaste for this life. And that's the non-discrimination. I don't know, somewhere, somehow in our conversation, or was it in the talk yesterday, I've mentioned that for me, this is the root of our condition and our suffering. We have started our life seeing the world as black and white, good and bad, etc. Our normal tendency is to look for comfort and to avoid difficulties. And by trying to avoid difficulties and looking for comfort, we have built up our whole being, our self, our environment, our life around our craving and distaste. And with the practice of mindfulness, the idea is to be able to stop and to see what is there at stake, what are the forces that are pulling or pushing us, in order to see how it is that we have constructed the life and the condition we are in. And so you see, only in that first teaching, we can find that all the teachings are in there. And then, yeah, so this is wonderful. So point two, the same thing. He remains established in the observation of the feelings in the feelings, diligent with clear understanding, mindful, having abandoned every craving and every distaste for this life. And when we read sutras, we may find that it is repetitive. And that is, again, what I find. Yes. But repetition is it. Because we cannot just read this one time and say, okay, we know. Yes, we do. Yeah, diligence is about coming back to it, coming back to it, and coming back to it. Just as we would not want to stop breathing. And so for the same thing for the number three, the third establishment, the mind. He remains established in the observation of the mind, in the mind, diligent, with clear understanding, mindful, having abandoned every craving and every distaste for this life. The fourth establishment, he remains established in the observation of the objects of mind, in the object of mind, diligent with clear understanding, mindful, having abandoned every craving and every distaste for this life. So that was the introduction and the executive summary. And I will read again for us the first part. There is a most wonderful way to help living beings realize purification, overcome directly grief and sorrow, and pain and anxiety, travel the right path, and realize Nirvana. And this is the teaching that we are studying together, the four establishments of mindfulness. The four establishments of mindfulness being the body, feelings, mind, and object of mind. Time goes so fast, but we are back to the present moment, and we have 15 minutes left in this talk. Participating Sangha have, this month, Brother Antonio sent us the pre-readers, and they are very, which word would you use for this? Extensive, full. But I read them yesterday night, and I see that there's enough material there to practice for this lifetime and more. So let me go through them and with you. Yeah, maybe our friend was scared of the volume, and that's why they are not connected today. I didn't say that I will have a test on. this month we have two guided meditation, and this morning in Omaha we had the chance to do one of them. Thank you for guiding us with that meditation. Which one was it? Body awareness. So I breathe in and I am aware of my entire body in stillness. At the present moment, breathing out, I become aware of the tensions throughout my body. Breathing in, I concentrate on my stomach. Breathing out, I concentrate on my stomach. Breathing in, I see restlessness. Breathing out, I calm restlessness. And this is a wonderful practice that we can do every day. And we can do it at the end of the day, before going to sleep or coming back from work, and before doing our chores for cooking, and that I do not know how to do. The other one is connecting with body from blooming of the lotus. And it is about scanning. It is about going through each part of our body and to come back and to be in touch with every part of our body. And then this is, again, I think, a wonderful exercise to get us back to our body. Which for myself, I tend to forget. And for me, my body has been like a tool, like a vehicle. And it has carried me. It has allowed me to do so many things. But I think that my body deserves more of my attention than I've been giving to it. And when it is crying, like it has been when my back was hurting, And it is so good because I will have a physical therapist coming to help me with that. The body, our most precious gift, a gift from our ancestors, a gift from the whole universe. And coming back to it, get back to our true home, get back to ourself. Thay speak about a big disease in our society, and he called that alienation. And we suffer a lot because we feel alienated, that we do not belong to a place. And the other image that comes to mind is the image of the hungry ghost traveling endlessly in this ocean of suffering, not having a place to come back to, not having a home, not having a refuge. And coming back to our body is one way to come back, to reconnect to our ground, to our true home, to there's no better word than to come back to our home and our body, which has been there carrying us all this time, supporting us. And in French, the word supporter also have that connotation, is of compassion. Is I'm taking all the burden for you, and I'm doing all the heavy thing for you, yeah, to support so that you can have what it is you aspire for. So it is all of that we come back to recognize, to acknowledge. And then it is a place of comfort that we come back to when we are practicing breathing in, breathing out, coming back and acknowledging, being aware of the whole body. And the whole body is so big. And the Buddha is giving us a beautiful image of how we can do the practice of coming back and practicing with awareness of the body in the body. They say a practitioner can use, imagine a sack of beans. And it contains all kind of beans. And it would open one end and empty it on the floor. And start to look at all the beans that are on the floor. This is a mung bean, this is a red bean, this is a black bean. And identify all the beans. And that's how the practitioner is contemplating the parts of the body, each part of the body. And this meditation is a way to do that contemplation of the body in the body. So we are lying down in our bed or in on the floor, and we start to breathe in, breathe out, observe the movement of our belly, rising and falling with our in-breath and our out-breath. And we bring our attention to each part of our body, starting with the hair, going all the way down to our toe, and then on the way, getting a little bit inside and stopping to see how our lungs have been, how they have been functioning, getting in our skeleton and seeing how our back has been holding us all that day, and stopping to visit and to say hello to our heart, who has been working non-stop all that time, and to see how it has been strained every time we are angry, or every time we are anxious, how our heart has to work harder every time we need it to pump more blood into. And then to recognize that it is there, to recognize the work that it has been doing in order to support our existence, and how it is that we have really overuse and abuse our body. And then I have not had the chance to directly experience it, but I've read some books speaking about, well, from some therapist, and I do not recall the name, but each part of our body, each organ of our body, are put into contribution for everything, for all actions and feelings and emotions in our life. And then all of that is imprinted and stored in each part of our body. So every time there is a strong emotion, all the muscle, all the heart, all the organs are contributing to and are receiving it. And they don't go away, it stays there. And then that may be the root cause of cancer, for example. And then there seem to be a direct correlation between event in our life and which organ will be stressed out or will be affected. And and so from the disease, so coming back in order to be in touch and to be aware and thankful, and also to express our, not only our gratitude, but our regret for having, out of ignorance, imposed so much hardship on our body, on our heart, on our lung, on our every part. And then, so practicing the contemplation of the body can be an endless, can be a non. Mark, how do you say that? A practice that you can do all the time until in many lifetimes. Just that practice can be enough. We do not need to do much more than that. But if we can practice conscious breathing, if we can practice following and staying with our in-breath and out-breath, if we can practice the awareness of the whole body, position of the body, actions of the body in our daily life, then that would be already mindful living. Yes, no? Yeah. And mindful living with all the benefit that it can bring about. What can it bring about? Let's hear the Buddha say that. I do not have the time, but I guess that we can all read, and you can read even better than me because it is in English. But the second part of this sutra, how does a practitioner remain established in the observation of the body in the body? He goes to the forest, to the foot of a tree, blah, 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 and that's the practice of conscious breathing. And then the next one, paragraph, is he uses the following practice. Breathing in, I'm aware of my whole body. Breathing out, I'm aware of my whole body. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I calm my body. So that is the, we come back to the calming. So it is about breathing in, identifying, following, and calming. Breathing in, I'm aware of my whole body. Breathing out, I calm my body. And then the next one, when a practitioner walks, he's aware I'm walking. When he's standing, he's aware I'm standing. When he's sitting, he's aware I'm sitting. When he's lying down, he's aware I am lying down. In whatever position his body happens to be, he's aware of the position of his body. This is how a practitioner observes the body in the body. He observes the body from within or from without, or from both within and without, etc. And then he observes the process of coming to be in the body and the process of dissolution in the body. So that's the practice of looking into impermanence. When the practitioner is going forward or backward, he applies full awareness of his going forward and backward. That's awareness of the actions of the body. And so all the number two are all the practices that the Buddha has taught for the observation of the body in the body. And there's a part that where he teaches us to look into our body and to see the four great elements. And that is one way to look at our interbeing nature with all that is. He also teaches us how to look at our body and to see the nine stages of decomposition. And that is to look at and to see the impermanent nature of our body and of all that is. And also to, as an antidote to our craving and our attachment to this body. Because when we see that this body, it can be, or will end up as a rotten, And so for this month, I don't know how each Sangha will be doing your practices or your, but I think that it would be good if we can take that second Dujian about the body in the body and to go through it and to see, to look more deeply into each of the practices that are taught in that part. It is so like clear and precise. And I'm so impressed, it's not a good word, but it's like a real step by step. This is how to do it, and it is, is the number one teacher. So number two will be the body. Number three will be the feelings. Number four will be the mind. And the number five will be the object of mind. And at the end, bhikkhus. He who practices in the four establishment of mindfulness for 7 years can expect one of two fruits the highest understanding in this very life. Or if there remains some residue of affliction, he can attain the fruit of non-return. So we'll come to that for the fruit of the practices, and there are levels of practices that we can look together. But what I so like is 7 years. 7 years too long. So he comes and he says, let alone 7 years bhikkhus. Whoever practices in the four establishment of mindfulness for 6, 5, 4, 3, 2 years, or even 1 year, can also expect one of two fruits. Either the highest understanding in this very life, or if there remains some residue of affliction, he can attain the fruit of non-return. So 1 year. And then he goes on. Let alone 1 year bhikkhus, whoever practices in the four establishment of mindfulness for 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, or 2 months, 1 month, or half a month, can also expect one of the two fruits. So let us give ourselves this month to look into the observation of the body in the body. And I just hope that you will like it enough to not let go after 1 month and hang on to it for 7 years. And with that, thank you so much for being with me on this day. Thank you.